Welcome to the Seed World Strategy webinar, Emergence and Setting the Crop Off Right. My name is Joe Funk, and I serve as contributing editor to Seed World, and today I'm happy to be your host. As we go along, we invite you to share your thoughts and insights with social media using this hashtag, Strategy Webinar. But before we begin, I would like to thank our sponsors, BASF and Syngenta, for their support. I also want you to know that this webinar is being recorded and will be made available on seedworld.com following the event. During the presentation, you'll likely have some questions. We invite those. And for our speaker, I just ask that you simply type into the chat box and we'll address them during the question and answer session following our speakers. And we will open it up to additional questions as we come to the end. Speaker is Dr. Dale Ireland. He's technical product lead with Syngenta Seed Care, U.S. soybeans and corn.
Thank you very much, Joe, and good day to everyone. Appreciate your time today in joining our webinar. As Joe said, I do research and development on Syngenta corn and soybean seed treatments. And we're going to talk a little bit about emergence and starting the crop off right. So I just wanted to refresh folks' memory. It's been several months since we planted a corn crop. And this just is a slide to discuss how early stand establishment, germination, and early stand establishment is critical. And to the degree that we do get as many plants germinated and established as possible, we maximize the yield potential of the genetics that you've selected, that you brought to the field. And by doing this and having the most robust and healthy young seedling, you maximize the potential yield that the environment, that the growing season that we face coming up in 2018 will offer. To the degree that you don't, you begin to limit your yield even as early as planting time and the establishment period if you don't get as many plants up and growing in a very robust, healthy, vigorous manner. Just draw your attention to, at least with corn anyway, you can set a lot of yield parameters quite early by maximizing your plant stand, as well as making sure that the root development is as large as possible from those genetics. So when we maximize yield potential, you do that by establishing the most number of crops and protecting the early root development. And it's very critical to protecting yield to do this. When you protect developing seedlings from disease, insects, and nematodes, you allow more of the root potential and the shoot potential to be exhibited. When we lose root mass early due to disease, insects, or nematode feeding, many of these early losses are not regained. We know that root surface area is directly proportional to the amount of soil volume that each plant is able to explore or much needed moisture and nutrients. And by maximizing the amount of potential that you receive from that developing seedling, you maximize the potential to yield the most you can in the environment that your growing season provides. And to the degree that you don't protect that potential and you don't realize as much root growth or shoot growth, then you begin to limit your yield already. I mean, literally, some people think about this as the day that you plant your seed, your crop has the most yield potential possible. And by using a comprehensive seed treatment, you protect more of that potential by fending off diseases, insects, as well as nematodes. So I apologize for the artwork that I did on this. I went to school for science and not art, but I think it'll get the point across. This just shows a young corn plant with the radical root coming off of the seed down to the right and toward the bottom of the page. You've got nodal roots coming off of the mesocotyl beginning to develop. That'll be the beginning just below the soil surface. That's actually the beginning of your permanent root system. Now, to the degree that you protect those with an insecticide or a comprehensive package of fungicides and nematicide, you are able to realize the most potential that this particular corn genetic would offer in that environment. Imagine, though, that if you didn't protect that and you lost part of that early established nodal root system that will begin to be your permanent root system eventually, and you continue to lose addition because you didn't have the best fungicide package, or maybe you didn't put an insecticide on that particular crop, you begin to lose early root potential, some of which will be regenerated, but will never be as large as it would have been had you protected it. So when you imagine the yield potential and the establishment, the ability of that plant to uptake moisture and nutrients and continue to grow and not to sit still and have to regenerate any type of other vegetative type of material, you maximize the potential that that seed provided initially. So let's look at some real-world examples and step away from artist rendering. On the left side of the screen here, you'll see some healthy corn seedlings that were grown in a greenhouse, four flats. On the right-hand side, the same hybrid, but it's been infected by Pythium ultimum. So on the left-hand side, it's untreated seed, and there's no pathogen present. That's a sterile potting medium. On the right-hand side, you'll see that potting medium has been inoculated with Pythium ultimum, a very common Pythium species. And you can see the amount of damage that pathogen or that disease is doing to trying to establish the corn. Both flats, or all eight flats, were planted the very same hour and were watered and fertilized in the very same way. But what you see are the differences simply from the pathogen being present on the right and it's not present on the left. Now, moving right along here, this is the same pest. On the left-hand side now are the infected plants early on. On the right-hand side are four flats that were protected by one fungicide called apron. The active ingredient is mefenoxam, the active isomer in the metalaxyl molecule. And on the right-hand side, you can see how healthy those plants are. The pathogen is still present, but it's been protected from the seed treatment. Now, this is just an example of what one molecule does against one pathogen. You can imagine it's never that simple in your fields. You're going to be going up against Pythium of several different species. You'll have Fusarium, you'll have Rhizoctonia, and all types of other soil and seed-borne types of diseases that you need to protect against. But when you go to the field with no treatment, whether it's corn or soy or cotton or whatever crop we're talking about, there are different diseases that are attacking your germinating seed as well as your seedling, and that's where seed treatments come in. This is just a very elementary example. Let's look at some data. I'm a field biologist, and this is kind of where I live here. This is a soybean seed treatment test from 2017 under heavy rhizoctonia conditions. This is 12 trials, and we're looking at plant stand per acre in soybean. On the gray bar is insecticide-only treatment, and the orange bar is that same insecticide plus a comprehensive three-way fungicide package that's not offered for sale yet, but it will be in 2018, called Vibrance Trio. That combination on the right obviously established about three times as many plants 28 days after planting as just the insecticide only. And you can imagine that a untreated soybean would have even less than the insecticide only gray bar. So how does this translate? If you have practically three times as many plants with the comprehensive fungicide insecticide package, how does that translate into yield? So in the eight trials that were taken to yield in that same test under heavy rhizoctonia pressure, it ended up yielding the comprehensive fungicide insecticide package over twice as much as just the insecticide only. So this is showing you that under real field conditions, that having a comprehensive fungicide package, one that's very strong against the diseases that you have in your growing area, very much pays. The return on investment is quite high. Here's another example of a comprehensive soybean seed treatment called Cruisermax Vibrance compared to just the insecticide in the gray bar. The green bar has three fungicides plus an insecticide, and that's what Cruisermax Vibrance is. And it yielded quite nicely compared to the insecticide only. And again, what this is basically showing is when you have a strong fungicide package, you're protecting not only stand, but also final yield. And, you know, ultimately that's what we're paid on, right? So this is seven trials, six reps per location. So a total of 42 reps here. And we see a statistical difference. That's what the little letters mean beside the yield values, that those are statistically different. Therefore, if you saw this combination in the future, again, you would expect to see a difference with the fungicide insecticide package that's denoted by the bright green bar, or the yellow bar, yielding much more than the insecticide-only gray bar. So let's shift gears here a little bit and go to corn. This is a corn fungicide package that we've been developing called Vibrant Cinco. This is, again, not a commercial product. It'll be introduced next year. It's a five-way fungicide package for corn. And when you see the amount of protection, if you recall back in the images several slides ago of the corn seedlings under Pythium pressure, you saw the apron treatment. Now, apron is not strong for rhizoctonia, but it is very good on Pythium. So we call this a check, and the gray bar on the left that says apron XL has been protected against any other disease, the Pythium disease in the field, but it does not protect against rhizoctonia. And these particular tests had heavy rhizoctonia, and you can see that with a comprehensive fungicide package such as Vibrant Cinco, a five-way corn fungicide package, you picked up somewhere in the neighborhood of 25 bushels under these heavy disease conditions just by protecting early stand, offering a very strong, robust early growth, and then protecting more of the yield. Whereas with just a single fungicide, the Apron XL and the gray bar on the left, you can see while practically 170 bushels per acre is not a terrible yield, certainly I'd much rather have closer to 200 that the Vibrant Cinco offered in these eight trials from 2017. And on the far right, you can see a leading competitor was not different from the check. You notice that the letters on the far right bar, A and B, you can see that it was not different than the fungicide check that just had the apron XL on the far left. So let's go back to some images. These are some 2017 images from one of my trials in Ohio where it's known to have heavy Pythium pressure. The central two rows that the kind of faded arrow shows, it's a four-row experimental unit or a four-row plot. These would be the outside rows. This is row one, row two, row three, and row four. The central two rows were inoculated with Pythium. The outside rows you can compare to the inner two rows and see the amount of pressure that the additional Pythium inoculum showed. So this particular treatment right here showed the level of Pythium activity there was. This has a fungicide package that protects against all other diseases other than Pythium. This is a Pythium test, so we're protecting against things like Fusarium, things like Rhizoctonia, and other seed-borne diseases and soil diseases other than Pythium. We're specifically looking at a new Pythium compound here. Going to the next slide, this shows it's the same rep of that same trial. You can see my white Ford F-150 in the background. These central two rows now look much better, much more like a commercial type of a seed treatment. These are the outer rows. This is a six-way fungicide package, the most comprehensive corn package that would be offered. This particular new molecule that we're testing will be available in late 2019, and it's extremely robust against Pythium. So let's go back to the previous slide. This is the check. And this is what a comprehensive six-way fungicide package protects. And this would offer, obviously, significantly more yield and much more protection early to establish plants, and that offers higher yield potential in the long run. So shifting gears, we've talked a lot about fungicides. Let's look at some insecticide protection here. This is a corn after corn 3-year test as we were developing Fortenza, which is a diamide class product that we've introduced recently in U.S. corn. On the far left, the gray bar is a fungicide-only package. It's a comprehensive fungicide package, but it doesn't have any insecticide present. The bright green bar or yellow bar there, second from the left, shows what a 250 rate of Cruiser, that's a neonic insecticide, protects. In this case, it protected about 3.5 bushels worth of yield, 31 trials across 3 years in a corn following corn rotation. The orange bar, the third one from the left, then has had on top of the Cruiser 250 rate a 125 rate of Fortenza on top of that. So we've got two different actives as far as insecticide here, the same base fungicide across all of these bars, but you can see an increasing amount of protection offered under this heavier insect environment. And then on the far right side is a 250-250 shot of Cruiser plus Fortenza, offering a very comprehensive corn insect protection package on that same base fungicide. And you can see just a stair step from left to right with increasing amounts of insecticide protection under heavier insect pressure. So again, we go back to the importance of using a seed treatment to protect stand establishment, germination, stand establishment, and early growth, and how that can lead to final yield improvement. Shifting gears once more, let's look at what a seed treatment offers as far as nematode protection. So in the upper left, you'll see five soybean plants that had a nematicide protecting against root knot nematode grown in a greenhouse setting. We know that young nematodes can infect roots depending on which species, but they can infect quite early and begin destructive behavior to that root system very early. And by not protecting roots against nematodes, and this is no matter what the crop is, this is soybean as an example, but the same would be true of cotton or corn, that early growth and development is lost if you don't protect against whether it's disease, whether it's insects, and in this case, nematodes, which is a microscopic round worm that feed and destroy roots. So when you have early root damage, that loss is not regained further into the growing season. It sets that plant root mass back. By protecting early root development, it protects yield potential. I mean, if you have a smaller root mass, depending on your environment, you can have less yield potential if things get hot and dry. So in the lower right-hand image, you'll see that those roots were not protected against root knot nematode, and you can see just how deformed and how small the surface area is of those root systems. And what ends up happening is you have less moisture and less nutrient brought up by that developing seedling, and your yield potential is permanently reduced. Here's a different nematicide and a different nematode. This is the soybean cyst nematode. This is a two-year study from North Dakota that we did. This is looking at soybean cyst nematode, comparing a fungicide insecticide on the left called Cruisermax Vibrance compared to a season-long activity against SCN with Clarita Elite Beans, a new premix we introduced this year in soybean. You can see in these seven trials across 2 years that there was a statistical difference by using Clarita Elite against SCN compared to the Cruisermax Vibrance product. They both have the exact same insecticide and fungicide package, but the only difference is the green bar on the far right here, Clarita Elite, has a unique novel nematicide that offers season-long protection against SCN. So again, by protecting seeds and developing seedlings, you have more yield potential and the potential to bring more grain at the end of the year. So in summary, germination and stand establishment are critical to final yield. Without strong, uniform early growth, you limit yield. Early realization of full root development and maximizing the potential of the genetics that you've selected is critical to maximizing and keeping consistent yield across environments. By using seed-applied fungicides, insecticides, and nematicides, we're going to protect more of the genetic yield potential that your genetics have. And I guess really the bottom line is when you use seed treatments, insecticides, fungicides, and nematicides, you're protecting more of that potential to then pay strong dividends at the end. I want to thank you for your attention today, and we'll be around for questions at the end of this session. I'll go ahead and turn this over to my colleague. Thank you.
Thank you, Dale. And before we bring on the next speaker, I do encourage you to enter some questions. There will be time at the end for your questions, so be sure and do that. Our next speaker is Mitch Stamm. He's BASF Biology Project Leader. And Stamm, we look forward to your comments.
Okay, thanks, Joe, and thank you, everyone, for joining. I'm happy to be here and kind of give a Dale did a very good job of giving a good summary of, you know, emergence and starting your crop off right, and I'll just add a little bit more to it. So. Again, I encourage questions at the end of the session. There will definitely be time. So as I was kind of as preparing this, I was kind of just thinking about cold weather and if it was in the news this year. And doing a quick Google search, looking at Google News, it was quite obvious that no matter where you were at, in the United States this year, you were probably dealing with some sort of cold weather. For example, with the first bullet cold, wet spring set the pace for a growing season. It was cool in Wisconsin in April, kind of set farmers back. So I guess the point here is no matter if you're living in Wisconsin or Ohio or in any of the areas where you're growing wheat throughout the Plain States, you're likely we're dealing with some sort of cold weather, and that's likely to continue as well. And when we think about the cold, not only is it necessarily the cold, but you get wet conditions, then ultimately this can potentially lead to disease problems, which causes stress on these early developing plants. just kind of the definitions of cold stress and also seedling diseases. With cold stress, basically the physiology behind it is that the seed is imbibing water. You see the cell membranes in the developing seed are expanding. And when you get this, maybe this cold snap, this causes problems by the membranes in the developing cells of the plant are not able to return to normal size. This can result in damage to the plant and ultimately will disrupt normal growth. The more phenotypic or what you see, the symptoms of the plant or what this causes is poor germination. You get some stunted seedlings, chlorotic leaves, there's some possible wilting, and ultimately this can potentially lead to death of the plant. What's interesting, with, if you look at the seedling diseases, typically they go unnoticed, but as I said, if it's cold, it's wet, you might have seedling disease issues as well. And also with, again, the kind of the symptoms that you see above ground are, again, very similar to cold stress, kind of go hand in hand with poor emergence, poor stand, get chlorosis, and again, plant death. A more large scale, if you have heavy disease located throughout the field, you have missing plants. And for example, in wheat, you have empty heads, not fully developing at crop maturity. And this can, again, ultimately reduce your yields, as Dale described. Just to touch on briefly, I found this interesting. This was a study that was conducted by Montana State University in 2015, just looking at the prevalence of seed-borne pathogens in pulse crops. They tested peas, lentils, and chickpeas. And not really to go into all the specifics of all the diseases that were present, but it is quite obvious that there are lots of diseases out there, and they can be quite, again, prevalent on the seed, so just keep this in mind as well. So the best way to manage seedling diseases, the best practices include, as depicted in the previous slide, lots of disease, lots of seed-borne pathogens, so plant disease-free seed. Always encourage crop rotations to decrease pathogen levels, break up the pathogen cycle, and decrease inoculum levels. Proper planting depth is important. The deeper you plant, the longer it stays in the ground, the more exposure to these disease pathogens. So planting at the right depth to limit exposure is encouraged. Good fertility, soil nutrient management really help establish those healthy plants and get them started off right. And what you see a lot on extension and literature, in the literature, is the use of a fungicide seed treatment is encouraged. So why use a seed treatment? For one, it protects the seed from seed and soil-borne diseases. As I mentioned previously, they often go undetected because they are can be below ground. So this requires some inspection of the roots in order to observe these symptoms. It's really the last opportunity to protect your seed from and the developing plant. So it's just a cheap insurance mechanism to, again, to make sure you start your crop off right. It's really the only timing and delivery route to protect the seed and also from seed and soil-borne diseases. Smuts and bunts, they show up later in the season, but it's really that early season infection is when this occurs, as well with your seed rots like your Pythium, your Rhizoctonia, and also your Fusarium seedling diseases. And again, what I'll touch on last is this also improve, seed treatments improve germination to allow for more even emergence. So the importance of good plant establishment, using wheat as an example, really 60% of that yield potential in wheat is determined by plant stand. So what this means is really the plant stand can really make or break your yield. And what these are different ways to obviously improve plant stand. I'm not going to go through all of them individually. Basically, it's important just to be well-informed, but the ones that I will point out are really the last three. First, the control of pests and diseases. You know, think about the pests and diseases that you might have in the field that you need to control, and select the seed treatment based upon these issues. It's always important to monitor the fields for the emergence of pests. If you have a problem one year, it's likely you could have problems in subsequent years. And then last, this can impact decisions later in the season. So if you don't have even emergence, this can impact your management decisions later in the year when you might need to apply a foliar fungicide application, for example. So we really try to stress this uniform emergence. So seed treatments, you know, help improve this uniformity. This is a very drastic example. This was in a small plot research trial, but I think it makes the point that what you see here is you have, obviously, on the right with the seed treatment, you have quicker canopy closure, whereas on the left with the untreated, you do not. So we like to call this management flexibility. Basically, you have healthier plant stands, and not only is it necessarily, you know, less stress on the plant, but it's also, you know, less stress on you or as the grower to making sure that it can basically makes your management decisions later in the season easier. Less weed management, maybe less foliar fungicide applications, or again, easier decision on when to apply. This is a larger scale example of kind of what I'm talking about. This is with our new product, Stamina F4 cereals, faster emergence and faster to grain. So on the left, with we have treated with Stamina F4 cereals, and as you can see, we have nice uniform emergence. And on the right, we have the untreated. So with the Stamina F4 cereals, we see the benefit in that it, you know, allows for this management flexibility, uniform stand, to later on in the season properly at time a fungicide application for head scab, just as an example. So Stamina F4 cereals, we're excited about this here at BASF. We received EPA registration in October of 2017 and will be launched in 2018. What's unique about this is that it's the first cereal seed treatment to contain Xemium or flexopyroxad. This is a systemic fungicide for use in cereals, and we believe it provides more continuous and consistent disease control. Xemium was now gone into our previous F3 cereals, and what this still has a lot of the same benefits that F3 cereals provided, and that we see with the plant health benefits of F500 molecule or pyraclostrobin. The characteristics of this are more consistent and increased germination. We've documented enhanced seedling vigor both above and above, below and above ground, and I have pictures to show that. And enhanced ability to manage exposure to environmental stresses. I believe under certain cold conditions, the F500 molecule has improved emergence. And again, this is a robust molecule providing excellent seasonal disease protection and broad spectrum control of different pathogens. Here are just some pictures that depict this, but I think are nice and tell a good story. This was a lab study that we did here in North Carolina. Seeds were planted at 10 degrees C under cold saturated soil conditions. And we have on the left, Stamina F4 cereals compared to the untreated. As you can see early on, we're seeing that enhanced emergence with Stamina F4 cereals. And just to touch on briefly, we believe that really, especially the F500 molecule is unique among the other strobes, and that we have improved emergence over other competitive brands that are currently in the market under same conditions. As I mentioned, the above and below ground performance, this was a research trial that we had up in Saskatoon in this year, in 2017. You could see the above ground benefits, larger leaves, but when we were digging around, we could see additional benefits of, you know, fuller root structure was observed throughout the trial. And just to highlight briefly, the obvious fungicide seed treatment. This has been on the market now for a couple years now. It contains the F500 molecule and also contains Xemium. And we do see these the same improved early benefits with obvious. So these are pictures from a couple of research trials under cold stress and also Rhizoctonia challenge conditions. And we see the added benefits, this improved emergence with obvious compared to the untreated. So just a summary of weather will always be an important factor. Cool conditions can cause, you know, plant stress, which slows growth, prevents germination and emergence. These can be, with the cold, wet conditions, it can be ideal for many diseases. With the diseases, I believe that really all are important and should be considered. They stress the developing crop, you know, reduce that early emergence, which can set the crop back, and really prevent optimal density that can impact decisions later in the year. So really consider, you know, all management practices and so in order to improve success of your developing crop. And last, just consider the resources that are out there. I'm originally from Nebraska, so that's why they get a shout out with their Plant Disease Center, but there's other great university extension resources available. Also UC IPM, they have lots of information on fruits and vegetables, as well as the Pacific Northwest Plant Disease Management Handbook, which is available online. So you can consider these resources because they're very valuable tools. And with that, I'll thank you for your time, and I'll turn it back over to Joe.
Well, thank you. Thank you, Mitch. Now we can open up for some questions. While you're getting your questions together, we have two to begin with. First of all, is there any limit to how many products can be put on one seed? We're talking about five-way, six-way. Is there a limit to either one of you? Are you there?
Yeah, I'll be happy to. This is Dale Ireland with Syngenta. Certainly there may be, depending on the expertise of your formulation folks, your chemistry folks, but certainly we see a one-jug solution as being something that makes it easy to use for the seed treater, the seed company, maybe even an end grower, end user, a grower, depending on the type of formulation or the product we're talking about. But certainly almost everything has gotten more intense and more complex over time as we learn more and more about, you know, when you're talking about almost any technology. But when it comes to seed treatments and the amount of AIs that are available, and the spectrum of activity that new molecules offer, there are different strategies. There are different, certainly there's strengths and challenge areas for any individual molecule, but when you package them together, you're able to have multiple modes of action against pathogens, which is very important when you look at resistance or stewardship. So I don't think there's any theoretical idea that there's a limit, but as you're looking at diseases, insects, and nematodes, you do need to have a number of different AIs to help manage those. So depending on what you're up against and what you need in your environment, you'll continue to see a plethora of different AIs being used together.
Mitch, do you have any comments?
No, I think Dale said it well. I mean, I think it really comes down to, you know, the mode of action and providing a product all in one that you know, is robust and can control against various pathogens, insects, and also nematodes. I guess, yeah, again, the more you put in the jug, the more complex it gets. So it also becomes very much a, you know, working with our chemists and formulation to make sure that we have a, you know, suitable product that that the sea treater in this case can also use.
Another question relates to pollinators. Pollinators are a big concern lately. Do either of you have any concerns about your products being put into the same environment?
Mitch, do you want to take this first? I'll be happy to make a comment, but go ahead.
Well, I can comment. I mean, for us, I mean, I assume this question is more around the insecticide component, and, you know, currently, especially with our Stamina F4, and also Obvious, these are fungicides, so, I mean, we do rigorous testing with these products to make sure that there's cause no harm to the environment, and including bees, and we do not see any ill effects with these products.
So this is Dale Ireland with Syngenta. My comment about pollinators is they're very important to our world. There's no question about that. We're very careful with them. As a former and future beekeeper, I've had many, many colonies myself. I understand the importance of pollinators to our environment. When you consider using a seed treatment, is an extremely efficient way to use active ingredients, whether it's a nematicide, an insecticide, a fungicide. It's attached to the seed is carefully planted, it's exposed to very little of the open environment where pollinators exist. Very, very small amounts of active ingredient are actually applied to that seed. So when you consider the alternative, like a broadcast or a banded application, seed treatments are actually an extremely efficient way to apply crop protection materials. And I would further say that it's proven within the apiculture or the beekeeping end of things that Nosema and Varroa mite are far more important to any type of decline that's been experienced than any type of an insecticide or fungicide or nematicide impact, especially seed treatment, to pollinators. So again, I would reiterate that pollinators are very important. We're very careful about that. We test our products with them. We've done all kinds of polymer work to make sure that we keep those AIs on the seed. We reduce dust off, and we're actively involved in promoting pollinator environments and refuges. So appreciate that question. Thank you.
We seem to have lost Joe, but there's two more questions in the chat here. One is, we're being told that the neonic seed treatments are causing us to have a slug issue. Any thoughts on this? Our slugs are horrible.
I'm afraid, this is Dale Ireland with Syngenta. I'm afraid I don't have any experience with slugs. I'm assuming this may be from Ohio or Pennsylvania. I know some of those areas they've had some slug issues, but I don't know anything about that.
Yeah, this is Mitch. I have no additional comment as well. Not sure about that. Have to look into it.
Okay, then that's about it. I'll just thank our sponsors, BASF and Syngenta, and our speakers today, Dale Ireland and Mitch Stram. The webinar will be posted within 48 hours on seedworld.com. Thank you. Have a good day.